Welcome to Radar Contact, the audio show that teaches pilots how to speak professionally and with confidence to air traffic control. If you have avoided contact with air traffic control because you just didn't know what to say or didn't know how to say it, Radar Contact is going to change the way you fly and communicate. And now here's your host, airline pilot, author, and host of ATCCommunication.com, Jeff Canarish.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Radar Contact. Here we are in Atlanta and we're in our sixth straight day of low ceilings and low visibility and rain and mist. Currently at Peachtree DeKalb Airport in Atlanta, the weather is 400 overcast, 3/4 mile in light rain and mist. The temperature is 12, the dew point is 12, and the altimeter is 29.83. It's not a good day for getting in a suntan, and certainly VFR is definitely not recommended. And speaking of VFR not recommended, later in our show, we'll be talking a little bit about how to contact an en route flight advisory service, which you and I know as Flight Watch. Also, we'll discuss how to work with the clearance delivery controller when departing VFR from an airport with a terminal radar approach control facility. Right now, I want to spend a few minutes with you discussing some terminology used by ATC that confuses even some highly experienced pilots. I think it's going to help you a lot, so let's get to it.
Cessna 9130 Delta, runway 28, shortened, line up and wait.
In the latest edition of the Air Traffic Controller's Manual, which is Joint Order 7110.65 Tango, the FAA added a new term for airport tower controllers to use in certain situations. When the full length of a runway is not available, for whatever reason, tower controllers are now required to remind pilots of the reduced runway length by adding the word shortened to the runway identifier. For example, if a runway has a closed portion due to construction, a tower controller might say any of the following: runway 28, shortened, cleared to land. Or runway 28, shortened, cleared for takeoff. Or runway 28, shortened, line up and wait. Tower will continue to use the word shortened until the closed portion of the runway reopens or until the fact of the reduced runway's length is made permanent by having it published in the FAA's airport facility directory. Please keep in mind, tower will only say shortened for a runway that is physically reduced in length for some reason. If you are directed to make an intersection takeoff, on the other hand, on a runway that is not physically reduced in length, tower will not say shortened, even though departing from the intersection means you will not be using the runway's full length. Here's the logic. When you depart from an intersection, the FAA assumes that you are aware you are taking off on less than the runway's full length. When you depart on a shortened runway from the beginning of the runway, the FAA feels it's necessary to warn you that you do not have the full runway length in front of you. Well, here's another statement you hopefully haven't heard too often.
Cessna 9130 Delta, cancel your takeoff clearance.
If you've begun your takeoff roll when you hear those words, what do? You get on the brakes immediately, no questions asked. Why? When a tower controller says, cancel your takeoff clearance, he believes there is something in your path that would prevent you from making a safe takeoff. Controllers only cancel takeoff clearances for safety. They will not cancel a takeoff clearance for convenience or for procedural reasons, such as improving spacing behind an aircraft in front of you. When you hear the word cancel and takeoff in the same sentence, you're on the roll, get on the binders and stop right now. The life you save will probably be your own. Let me give you an example. Many years ago, I was flying the right seat on an MD-88 out of an airport with intersecting runways. Tower had cleared another airplane to land on the other runway. Shortly after, tower cleared us to take off on our runway. I looked to my right as we began our takeoff roll and saw that other airplane descending below the tree line towards the other runway. Doing some quick mental projection, it became obvious to me the landing airplane was going to roll through the intersection of the two runways just as we were passing through the intersection during our takeoff roll. But you know, there's that moment of disbelief, like, how could tower miss something like this? So I hesitated for a second, and we had traveled about 1,000 feet down the runway as we accelerated when I finally said to tower, do you have another aircraft on short final for the runway? Tower came back to us immediately, cancel takeoff clearance, cancel takeoff clearance. The captain yanked the throttles back and our auto brakes activated in the rejected takeoff mode. That is, we stopped in a hurry as the braking computer for the airplane just romped on the brakes. Sure enough, as we slowed to taxi clear of the runway after our rejected takeoff, The landing aircraft on the other runway appeared from behind a curtain of trees lining the runway and rolled through the intersections like poof, there it was. It could have been a disaster, but thankfully, we stopped immediately when Tower said cancel takeoff clearance.
Cessna 9130 Delta, taxi without delay. Traffic is Boeing 737 holding for you on the parallel taxiway.
Well, if you look in the Aeronautical Information Manual's Pilot Controller Glossary, there is absolutely no mention of the phrase without delay. And yet, controllers use the expression all of the time. Taxi without delay is listed in the Air Traffic Controller's Manual under Taxi and Ground Movement Operations. Taxi without delay means, according to the ATC manual, instructions to expedite a taxiing aircraft or vehicle. So then, you have to look up the word expedite in the Pilot Controller Glossary. And what does that mean? The word expedite means exactly what you expect, and this is quoting, used by ATC when prompt compliance is required to avoid the development of an imminent situation. Now, here's the thing about taxi without delay or expedite when it comes to taxiing. A lot of pilots think those terms mean you should taxi faster than normal. I think many air traffic controllers also think that's what those words mean, go faster. But the truth is, they don't. According to the real definition of these terms, both mean begin immediately. In other words, if a ground controller tells you to taxi without delay, he means stop picking your nose and start moving right now. He does not mean taxi so fast that if you were to pull back on the control yoke, you could take off right there on the taxiway because he had so much speed. Well, maybe he wished you would taxi faster, but his wish is not your command to violate the FAA's guidance on taxi speed, which is never taxi faster than a fast walk. Yeah, I know, there are some pilots who treat taxiways like drag racing strips. Hey, do what you want. But realize an air traffic controller cannot require you to taxi faster than the FAA guidelines. All he can do is compel you to start moving immediately. In the example radio call I just played, the controller asked Cessna 9130 Delta to taxi without delay because a Boeing 737 was waiting for him to pass before the Boeing could move. My thought on that? Big deal. Let the big jet wait a few extra seconds while you taxi at a normal speed. Yes, taxi promptly as a courtesy, but know if the airliner has to burn an extra gallon of Jet A while he waits for you to pass, well, that's not, as the manual calls it, the development of an imminent situation. Now contrast that with a controller who says,
Cessna 9130 Delta, without delay, cross runway 5, traffic is on a 1 mile final.
That's definitely a good reason to get moving because an imminent situation could develop. Mainly, if you don't get your rear end across the runway, bad things could happen between you and the landing aircraft. One last word about expedite and then we'll move on. While expedite, as it refers to taxiing, means start right now, it has a different meaning when it's used in the air. When a controller says expedite your descent or expedite your climb, it means he wants you to give him the maximum rate of descent or climb your aircraft at the maximum rate without overspeeding your aircraft or violating any regulation regarding speed. So those are some terms that come up very rarely, but when you do hear them, it does pay to know what they mean. I'm thinking of a classic comedy movie. I'm sure you've seen it. In order to get you to say the name of this movie, I don't even have to tell you the plot or the name of any of the actors in it. All I have to say is, when there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you gonna call? Of course you will answer, Ghostbusters! But if I said to you there's some strange weather ahead of you along your route of flight, who are you gonna call? The answer is definitely not Ghostbusters. When you need to get an update on en route or terminal weather, you have some choices. First, if you're already talking to an en route center controller, if he's not too busy, the controller might be able to relay some weather information to you. Chances are he's going to be busy, and he might not be able to get as complete a weather update as you would like. So, you can also call flight service. A flight service agent will get you all the weather information you need, but consider this. Flight service handles a lot of other duties other than weather reporting. In fact, a flight service station agent is responsible for a list of chores as long as a full roll of toilet paper. When contacting flight service, you also need to be able to find the appropriate frequency for the nearest flight service station on your navigation chart. I'm not saying flight service is a bad choice when all you need is weather information. I am saying there might be a better, easier alternative. And that alternative is Flight Watch. Here's why. First, there's no frequency to look up to make contact. All Flight Watch stations use 122.0 in the United States. Second, you don't have to look up a Flight Watch station's name on a chart. They're all called Flight Watch. Now, there is a naming convention for Flight Watch stations, and I'll get to those in a moment, but really, if push comes to shove, all you have to do is tune in 122.0 and say Flight Watch when making initial contact. Third, Flight Watch agents have one job and one job only. They are highly trained to give you the best possible picture of weather along your route of flight from top of climb right down to landing at your destination. All you have to tell the agent is where you are, where you're going, and the time you expect to arrive. The agent will then tailor a picture of the weather that fits your situation and make recommendations as necessary. And if you encounter weather that differs from the weather he is reporting for your position, be sure to point that out too. Flight Watch is the single best point of contact for pilot reports. Not only should you make pilot reports to Flight Watch, but the agent will also be able to provide you with a laundry list of pilot reports that are relevant to your route of flight. Now, how specifically to make contact with Flight Watch? First, if you're in contact with an en route air traffic control center, or even if you aren't talking to center but you know which center's airspace you're in, it's recommended that you contact Flight Watch by including the name of the en route center. For example, if you're currently talking to a controller at Denver Center, on your initial call to Flight Watch on 122.0, you should say, Denver Flight Watch. Of course, if you don't know the name, just leave it out. After stating your call sign in your initial contact, say the name of the VOR nearest your location. By saying the VOR's name, you will help the Flight Watch agent select the remote radio antenna nearest you. Here's an example of what the initial contact radio call to Flight Watch might sound like if you are flying in the vicinity of the Hugo VOR in eastern Colorado.
Denver Flight Watch, Cessna 9130 Delta, Hugo VOR, over. Cessna 9130 Delta, Denver Flight Watch, go ahead. Cessna 9130 Delta is 20 miles north of the Hugo VOR at 8,500 VFR. And we're landing Pueblo Memorial with an ETA of 1730 Zulu. We're encountering mountain wave turbulence, and we'd like to know about ride conditions ahead.
Flight Watch would then review pilot reports, winds aloft at various altitudes, prognosis charts, and make a recommendation for an altitude or an area where mountain wave turbulence is reduced or not a factor. By the way, if you don't know what mountain wave turbulence is, good. It's no fun. Do bear in mind that Flight Watch deals strictly with aviation weather. They do not handle flight plans, airport traffic advisories, or any of the other non-weather services managed by a flight service station. But the next time you need specific weather information or a general picture of the weather along your route of flight, try contacting Flight Watch. It's a highly specialized service that can get you what you need without the delay or occasional hassle of dealing with other agencies. If you ever have occasion to depart VFR from an airport that has a terminal radar approach control, or TRACON, you're going to have to coordinate your departure with an air traffic controller position in the airport tower called clearance delivery. And we tend to think of clearance delivery as a requirement for aircraft flying IFR. At most Class C airports, VFR aircraft are required to check in with clearance delivery before taxiing. You'll get a heads up on this requirement by listening to ATIS when it says, all departing VFR aircraft contact clearance delivery prior to taxi. There are two reasons for this requirement. First, you will need a discrete transponder code assigned to your aircraft so the radar controller can identify your aircraft after you take off. Second, because Class C airspace is usually busy airspace, ATC would like to know your plan, route of flight, and altitude while in the Class C even before you take off. Those two bits of information are all you really need to relay to the clearance delivery controller, along with the current ATIS code for the airport. Now, when I say ATC needs to know your route of flight, all they really need to know is where you'll be heading while you are still in the Class C. They couldn't care less what you do after you exit the boundary of Class C. So, for example, your route of flight today is a northwest departure to the Podunk VOR, then a turn to the west towards the Dog Squat VOR and points beyond. If you will exit Class C airspace before reaching Podunk, then all clearance delivery really needs to know from you is that you'll be departing northwest or departing direct Podunk. Let's put it all together. You're sitting in the chocks at the pernicious regional airport. You have the engine off and the master avionics switch on. You tune in the airport ATIS and listen to the recording. You hear the ATIS announce, advise the controller on initial contact that you have received information kilo. You decide you will climb initially to 6,500 MSL as you make your way northwest towards the Podunk VOR. With all that in mind, you switch the radio frequency to clearance delivery and you make your radio call.
Pernicious clearance delivery, Cessna 9130 Delta, VFR to Podunk at 6,500. Cessna 9130 Delta, pernicious clearance delivery, squawk 0341. Departure frequency will be 127.5, and say your position on the airport.
Cessna 9130 Delta, 0341, 127.5, and we're parked at Anemia Air.
Cessna 9130 Delta, read back correct, contact ground 121.9 when ready to taxi.
Simple as that. Any questions? Hey, speaking of questions about clearance delivery, I wanted to take just a moment to thank everyone who's given me the great feedback on my instructional program, Clearance Magic. Although we talk primarily about VFR communication in this show and at atccommunication.com, many pilots who fly IFR have told me they could use some help coping with complicated IFR route clearances. That's what Clearance Magic is all about. You can access the training program by clicking on the link in the left-hand column at atccommunication.com or go directly to the program's sales site at ifrclearance.com. And again, thank you for all of the nice compliments on the program. If IFR flight is not yet on your radar, and you can use a little more help with VFR radio communication, my book Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots is also available for sale at Amazon.com and at BarnesandNoble.com. There are links to the book at both online stores in the left-hand margin of atccommunication.com. And by the way, I'm now offering a volume discount on the book for flying clubs and for flight schools. Just click the new tab, Flight Schools and Clubs, at the top of any page at atccommunication.com. The tab takes you to details on the book's discount, as well as information about how you can book me to guest lecture in your flight school classroom or speak at your flying club's next meeting. And now, let's get to our question of the week. You are taxiing out to runway 8 left at Pueblo Memorial Airport in Colorado. You are currently taxiing on Taxiway Alpha, and ground control has told you to hold short of runway 35, which crosses Alpha. Ground tells you to then monitor tower's frequency. Presumably, tower is going to tell you when you may cross runway 35 and continue to the end of 8 left, where you're going to hold for departure. You make the switch to tower's frequency, and just as you do, your aircraft's engine starts running rough. You quickly switch your ignition from both to left magneto only, and the engine still sounds rough. You try the right magneto, and the engine starts to cough like it's about to quit. As this happens, tower comes on the radio and says,
Cessna 9130 Delta Pueblo Tower, traffic is on a 2-mile final. Without delay, cross runway 35.
So here's the question. What do you do now, and what do you say in reply to tower? When you think you know the answer to that question, go to the link atccommunication.com/answers. There you will find a complete answer, along with an explanation about how that answer was derived. And speaking of answers, if you have questions, I have answers. Write to me at jeff@atccommunication.com with your questions and comments. I really do love hearing from you. Not only is it great to talk to fellow pilots about topics we are both interested in, it's your questions and comments that steer this show and our website. And one other note, you can now follow my up-to-the-minute ramblings about air traffic control at Twitter. There's a Twitter link to my Pearls of Wisdom in the right margin of atccommunication.com. My Twitter ID is ATC_Jeff. So come visit. Well, I normally close the show by saying if you happen to be flying this week, I hope you enjoy beautiful flying weather. But given how lousy the weather has been here in Atlanta, today I'll just say, if you plan to fly this week, I hope you can find VFR weather. I've almost forgotten what it looks like. Music for this show was provided by Kevin McLeod at incompetech.com on a Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. I'm Jeff Canarish for atccommunication.com. Thank you for listening. Be well, keep in touch, and fly safe.